The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Dell.
Melissa Dell.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house!
I'm so excited. We have a great lineup of stuff going on today. We got some giveaways that we're going to give away at the end, and we'll talk about those soon. We got some cool announcements. Sarah's got something she's always got supposed to say that I always cut her off.
Yeah, so this episode, we are going to highlight 9 games that are coming to Kickstarter the week of July 9th, 2018.
Wow.
Ooh, and we have an interview, too, right?
Wow. It's going to be a fun one.
This
buckle
is gonna
up.
It's going to be a fun.
I hope you buckled up.
Buckle up.
Are you driving? Okay. So let's start with, what did we play tonight? Because I played some cool ones.
What'd you play,
what
Will?
Did you guys play? I played one I don't know how to pronounce.
Ikwazu?
That's correct.
From
maybe.
I played that one.
From Haba Games?
So I guess that's like a year old? Is that
yes.
At least? I've never heard of it.
It's almost a year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's close.
It was cool. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, I won.
Well, he also won about like 15, 20 points.
Yeah, it was like 20.
Tell us how your experience was, Ryan.
I came in third place.
Okay. Any other experience?
It was a lot of fun for third place.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I would definitely play it again.
I agree with that. There were some really neat components
the whole
that
thing
weren't
was pretty
really
unique.
Necessary for the gameplay, but added a lot of just like fun interest to the game.
Yeah. I felt like it had a gimmick, but it was definitely a fun gimmick.
Yeah. I agree with that. Like, Haba.
Tell us what this gimmick is.
Yeah, so Haba's always got, like, the more fun, friendly kid thing. Mm-hmm. This was definitely a little bit heavier of a game. I mean, it wasn't, like, difficult.
Oh,
but
kids could play it, though. There's no reading involved,
right.
And it's not that hard to figure out.
No, very true. So it's like the board looks like a waterfall that's, like, gushing down. That's the illustration. And then there's this giant iguana that's crawling across the board and revealing as the water gushes around its back.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's behind the waterfall you can see as the iguana passes by. I don't know how to describe that in components, so just check it out. But that's
cool.
The concept.
There's a waterfall that covers up portions of the
like
board during different times
slots.
Of the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you're laying
the
diamonds.
The little jewels that are in that are really neat, a component. I thought they were really nice looking gems.
Yeah, and you pass it around in a cool little container. I don't really know. And then,
yeah, and then Kevin and Melissa and I also played a game.
That's fine.
Done. I'll start with that.
Yes. Yes.
That,
right. That.
We have a lot to cover this
week. That's right.
We also played a game that had very fantastic components, which was Tang Garden.
Ooh, by Thundergriff Games. Their Kickstarter is currently live, and if you're listening to this when this episode drops on Monday, it is their Kickstarter is done July 10th.
So the other game I played, I'm just kidding.
Thanks,
no, Tang Garden was super awesome. I didn't actually get to play it. It looks amazing.
There's so many cool components in there, like three-dimensional components, and they're all cardboard. And there's some miniatures as well. I just looked it up. What would you guess is the reward, the base game reward level? How much do you think it costs?
I would say at least $50, if not 60.
Yeah, 60 at least.
Yeah, I was gonna guess 60. It's $52.
Wow.
Oh.
So
that's
there's
pretty
a
good.
Ton of pieces.
Do you have
in
to
there.
Pay shipping on top of that?
I looked that research that
okay.
much. I'm sorry, but they have a deluxe bundle which is $76 and adds some more expansion stuff to it. So the Ghost Stories expansion.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. It was kind of like lanterns where you're placing tiles but and set collection, but also a little bit of topiary where you have your little figurines facing different directions gaining points.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. So, and I won. But
it always makes you like it more. I feel you. The other thing I played, finally, yay, thanks for sharing, was Pococo.
Yeah.
Did you let him? Well, I thought we were going to hold that back.
We held it long enough.
Yeah. We let him play.
It was great. So I've seen the game out like 10 times. I didn't realize that those peacocks are plastic.
I know.
I thought it was cardboard. No.
Those are super cool peacocks.
It's way cooler. You slide your cards into this peacock holder, and it's all beveled and real nice. So it just like gently pinches your cards when you slide them in, and creates a really cool experience. I enjoyed it a lot.
We played it while you guys were doing the interview.
Oh yeah.
And
did you win?
I think Katie won.
I won by 1 point.
Yeah, it was pretty
good. I had an amazing first round.
Yeah, she did a really good first round.
Which put me just...
And then I think all of us were really good for the second, like pretty even for the second round. And then the third round,
we all bombed the third round.
Well, because we were all like, ooh, they're trying to do that, so I'm going to play...
Mess them up.
Like, mess up. That's what we're doing. So we were messing up everyone.
None of us bid the same on most of the stuff, so it made it where we were all working against each other rather than trying to help anybody out.
I actually did phenomenally in the last round,
but
did really poorly the first round.
That's true. So Ryan did do really
poorly. Hold it back up. Way to go.
I like it because it's got so many different parts of the game that your brain is like trying to wrap around.
Yeah,
like
the fitting familiarity.
You can't see your cards part. There's cards in a deck part
that aren't a part of any of the tricks.
Yeah, they're part of the tricks and. And there's, of course, there's the trump for that round, so.
Yeah, really fascinating concept. Really enjoying that one. Should we go ahead and give a shout-out to our sponsors?
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Brouhaha Games. Their game, Pumpkin Patch Bad Seeds, is on Kickstarter. And they'll be giving away 2 copies of their game. So listen up at the end to hear how to enter.
Woohoo!
Yeah,
that sounds cool.
We'll talk more about Pumpkin Patch in our Kickstarter Conniption episode, but I'm so thankful that they're giving away some games.
Yeah.
And look forward to that.
That'll be exciting. We'll tell you guys how to win those. Hang around to the end and we'll give you the details. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into our interview. We want to welcome Tim Brown and Josh Capel to the house. Hey, guys!
Hey!
How are you guys doing?
Very good. How are you?
We're doing really good, and I'm sure you guys are doing great. Fantastic job on the Kickstarter so far. We are talking about Rec Raiders, and you guys have a little bit of time left. This is going to go live a week from now, so do that math in your head. You guys will be, how much, like a little bit of time left still, right?
Oh, we'll still have probably 12 days left at that point.
Awesome. Great. So you guys have already successfully funded. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, in under 10 hours. That was pretty amazing.
That is amazing. Did you guys anticipate that at all? Was that... A delightful shock, I assume, or
it seemed like it was going to do great, but we didn't know how good until the day, obviously.
Yeah, you never know.
Cool. But yeah, you never know. That's true.
From my end, we've done a bunch of them now, and we still are nervous every single time we launch one. We don't know if anyone's going to show up at all, so we are always pleasantly surprised when it goes well.
Yeah, it's a fantastic rush to see those numbers come in and that first pledge, and then followed up. We've been there. We love that. That's exciting. You guys, this game is a little bit different than some of the other stuff that you've put out for kids' table board gaming.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, just run us through how the game works.
How the game works. Okay. Tim, you want to handle this one?
Sure. So it's a dice drafting, worker placement, set collection game. One person throws a dice, you draft one from those, and you place one on the... on the board, there's 4 shipwrecks, and you place one of your meeples on the number that you chose. And when you place there, you get a treasure, but anyone next to you also gets a treasure, including if it's your own guy.
Very nice.
Josh, you want to take it from there?
Sure, yeah. Okay, so like Tim said, you draft a die from the dice pool, and that tells you where you can possibly go. So the number of the die tells you which of the numbered spots on the board you can go to. So when you go to a shipwreck... you have to go in the same numbered spot in the wreck that is shown on the dice that you took. And sort of the driving mechanism behind the game is the idea of neighbors also gaining when you place your diver into a wreck. So if I go in seat number 3, then the divers in seats number 2 and 4 are also going to get a treasure as well. So what you're trying to do is avoid helping other players too much while trying to help yourself a lot. And the more you can manage to sort of boost your own gains as you play, the better you can do. Now, you're gaining the treasures because you want to be able to place them in one of 2 places. You want to either send them to your displays to build exhibits that the museum wants, or you want to put them face up into your vault because you want to get a bunch of different unique treasures and also make Rose that match each other. Lastly, when you place a diver, you can also go to the beach. And when you do that, you pick up baubles, which are things like seashells and starfish and little stone skulls. And you can use those for a number of different powers, or you can buy aquarium tiles with them. And when you buy aquarium tiles, you kind of stack those up into cool towers that you can use to score at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We've played a prototype of it. We did a review for it. It's on our channel. If
awesome.
Our listeners haven't seen it yet, go check it out.
I heard your podcast last week, yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. And we are super pumped to see you guys unlocking stretch goals because you just unlocked the one that we were most excited about.
Yes, yeah. I'm very excited about the too, custom right? diver meatball. Yeah. But we talked about this when we played the prototype. It would be great if this looked like an actual diver. And I'm excited that it's going to be a real thing now.
You know what? We had all these stretch goal ideas, and people are just guessing them by the handfuls in the comments. And we're like, no, you're ruining everything. And
but and still. Blaine is like, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. I'm like, no, I want to tell everyone. I want everyone to know what's coming.
But we're happy to make people happy by revealing them. So that's great.
It is. It's very cool. Now, you guys designed this together. Yeah, what? Walk us through a little bit of that process. Where did you guys get started? How did you decide you wanted to work together on a game?
Well, we drove back from Gen Con together in 2015, I think.
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, it was just the two of us in the car, and Josh said, hey, let's design a game. So I grabbed a little scrap of paper that had an idea on it and said, maybe we can do something with this. And Josh said, sure, let's go. And we made an ice cream game. And at some point we, well, there's a little more to the story, but eventually we changed the theme of the game, and what we have now.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, we're driving along, and Tim has this idea for sort of a resource gaining mechanism, which is the neighbor's gain aspect of Recreators. And he said, "This is my idea. I don't really have a game to put it into, but it's a cool mechanism, and I need for it to have a home." So I said, "Well, Z-Man Games is currently asking me to work on sort of companion games to go along with Wasabi, which is an old design of mine that they did. So they were thinking about reprinting it, and they also wanted to do sort of a series of games to go along with it." And I said, "Well, this sort of mechanism gathering is something that might be able to fit into a food preparation theme." And Tim and I decided that
spillover or something like that.
Exactly. So Tim and I decided that, well, these circles that you're sort of placing workers around could be like freezers that you're reaching into to get ice cream scoops. And when you open the door to the freezer, well, the people next to you can also reach in and grab a scoop too. And it sort of made sense that way. So the game now, it's about treasures and baubles and aquariums and stuff. But it used to be about stacking ice cream cones. And it was pretty good then. But ever since we made the theme change, because Helena wanted to do a non-food game for a change.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That explains it right there.
Exactly.
The bit we were looking for.
Yeah, so ever since we made the change, we made a lot of refinements to how the game plays and to, you know, to make
the vault in particular is so much better.
Yeah, exactly. Just to make the game more
masterful. It was an area that was sort of weak at the time, and we didn't really know what to do with it. And then with the theme change, you're like, oh, this works so much better.
Yeah, it really
very cool.
Yeah, it turned out awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys will, obviously, you funded, so you'll complete this in a couple of weeks. What, do you guys have an ETA on when you'll do delivery? Is that a year out, like at Origins, or what's your production?
That's more of a Helena question, really.
I think she said April on the Kickstarter.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Will you guys be at any conventions coming up this year?
I'll be at Gen Con.
Yeah, we will be at Gen Con. I'm going to Grand Con in September in Michigan.
Okay.
And going to make it out to Essen this year, too.
Oh, very nice. Wow. Nice. Have you guys been there before?
No, first time.
I've never been there. I am not going there this year either. So I'll also be at Fan Expo in Toronto, which is less gaming, but it's fun. Cool. And Proto-TO as well, which is also in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Proto-TO, awesome. Of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got to hang out with Helena at Origins. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed you guys.
Yeah, that's right. It made sense. You got to split it. We kind of do the same thing usually because, you know, kiddos, you got to have the priorities in the right spot.
I know. It's, it's strange being one half of the equation in this gaming
family. It is.
Yeah.
It is indeed. So what other stuff do you guys have on the horizon? Are you guys working on other games, obviously? What's the next thing on either of you guys' plates?
Tim?
I've got Order of Invention coming, which...
okay, tell us about that a little bit. Can you?
Sure. It should be at Gen Con, I think. I mean, I've seen a production copy, so... But again, these aren't... This isn't up to me. basically, you stack of cards, 80 inventions. You put out 4 of them, and you're betting on the order that they were invented in. And they're real inventions.
Oh, interesting. And, okay, cool.
For everyone you're correct, you get a token, and you can bet those on future rounds. And yeah, that's pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, I've played that prototype. It's pretty surprising how wrong you can be about the order things were invented in.
Who's doing the artwork for that?
That one is Len Peralta. He's from the States.
Cool. Interesting. And then Josh, what are you working on?
Well, you know, you guys know I do game art as well as game design, so I'm doing art mostly for Helena's two companies and also for a company called Grand Gamers Guild. And the big next one on the horizon for me is through Grand Gamers, and it's called the Artemis Project, and that one's launching in about a month on Kickstarter. Daniel Rocky and Daryl Chow's game design. It is amazing, and I'm very excited for people to see that. Kids Table has a game by Peter C. Hayward coming soon. It's about bugs. We haven't settled on a title yet, but we're gonna do that shortly. And then Burnt Island Games, Helena's other company, has a game called In the Hall of the Mountain King, which is going to be announced pretty soon.
I think that's the only one of those I haven't played yet. Oh, yeah? I played all the other ones in earlier iterations. But us Toronto people play everything of each other's.
We got to play Endeavor while we were at Origins.
Oh, sweet.
And wow, man. Well done on that. It's beautiful. We really enjoyed that one.
Thank you. Had you played the original?
We have not. No. So we're unexposed, but the artwork for it was fantastic. We thoroughly enjoyed everything down to the plastic container, component containers.
Thank you. Thank you.
How much of that do you do? Do you do the plastic work?
I don't. It's done by Noah Edelman of Game Trays.
Okay.
So what is going on here? He is an artiste with that stuff. He's the best in the business for sure. He has a long client list, so he's hard to get his hands on. But if you are a game publisher and you can have someone design your trays, that's your guy right there, Game Trays.
Cool. Yeah. We'll check that out because it was impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. It was his suggestion to make sort of like a removable tray for each player, which really is a wonderful choice for that game in particular.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It sets up way faster, and you know where everything goes when you're done.
Yeah.
It was nice.
All right, awesome.
Well, very cool. Thank you guys for your time. Tell us where we can find you guys' stuff online.
Tim W.K. Brown at Hotmail, timwkbrown.com or at Tim W.K. Brown on Twitter.
Cool.
Josh?
Josh, where you at?
For me, the place that I'm at right now is on Kickstarter, on the Rec Raiders Kickstarter campaign. That's sort of where my focus is right now. So if anyone wants to find me, that's where you should go. And while you're there, you know, back for Rec Raiders. It's a great little game.
It is. Yeah. I think you guys would definitely enjoy it. Thanks so much for being on the show, guys. It was a pleasure talking, and we will be keeping up with you guys in the future because we're always excited to see stuff coming out of Kids Table Board Gaming, and it was fun talking to you guys. Thanks so much for being with us.
You too. Thanks, Will.
Bye! Super fun having those guys on the show. It was very cool to hang out with them. I'm a little disappointed. I'll be honest. I was hoping they were going to be at Dice Tower Con this week.
Which is last week.
Right, which is time traveled back to you guys. I will be there. I'm pretty excited.
I'm excited that you get to go.
I know. I wasn't really planning on it, but all the stars aligned. And
stay here to do all the work and playthrough videos.
Yeah, if you guys can cover those and get that playthrough done and 17 more reviews, Sarah, good job.
Although I hear that you're going to be hopefully editing some videos on the car ride there.
I did. Larry and I worked hard this week. We shot 2 of them. Me and Sarah shot 2 of them. So I'll be editing for 8 hours in the car. And then... hopefully getting more footage so I can edit it when I get back. That should be a lot of fun. If you guys were there, since you'll be hearing this in post, then...
I hope it was awesome.
Yeah, thanks. But look for some pictures on our Facebook page and send us some comments to say hi. Hopefully I got a chance to say hi to you while I was there. I think the next thing on the list is the Kickstarter Conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption!
Alright, so Ryan, what are you talking about?
Well, a game coming July 9th is one that we actually got to play at Origins, Loveless and Babbage.
by Artana Games,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't remember what you guys thought about it, but I really enjoyed it. It was a highlight of the con for me.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
What is this about? I cannot tell from the title at
all. We're going to talk about it.
So as we all know, being the great historians that I'm not, Loveless and Babbage, I guess she was the
Ada
first.
Ada Loveless.
Yeah, was the first computer programmer, technically, is what they're giving her credit for, which I think is legit.
Yeah, it's awesome. And the game is, like, the theme is that, like, sort of computer programming. Mm-hmm. It's very mathy. So you are you have cards in front of you, and there's cards. there's cards like in like a not a market, but a display, and you're trying to, and they're all different numbers, like 42, 52. I'm just like 75, 97, whatever. You're trying to. You have your own little player sheet, and you're trying to get your sheet to match those numbers, but you have to use different gears that are different, like math equations, like plus two or divide by divide in half or
plus 10 or minus
or
10.
Even and not okay. just math. It can even be like, I want 97. Well, I have 79 in front of me. Like I wrote down, there's a gear that you can switch your two numbers. So you can be like, oh, I have 79. I'm going to switch to 97. And then I'd be like, oh, and then I'm going to subtract 7, and then I'm going to divide that in half, and I get this next card. So you're trying to like manipulate your numbers to match as many cards as possible in one round.
Oh, Ryan loves manipulating the numbers.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of the British show Countdown for our British listeners, if you're familiar with that. And but there's like objectives that you're going for.
Yeah.
You get bonus points,
and you have like your own objectives plus.
Yeah,
the pool.
You have your own personal objectives that if you complete them, you get a special power that's a one-off for the next round.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just very enjoyable.
It was pretty cool. I have to admit, I am not a math guy.
I was gonna say, Will's not mathy.
But the beauty of it was, it wasn't hard. Like I think I got second or third or fourth.
I don't remember.
I was pretty close because I was really nervous that I was just gonna be just. Destroyed, but it wasn't like it is real time, so it is like a doing the math as fast as you can.
Oh my goodness!
But
I would never make
that. No, it's okay because I sandbagged, not sandbagged, but I basically was last every round. But I just made sure that my math was so good that I was able to do more cards than the other people in the round. So even though I was last, makes but. Which could mean I'm not getting as much, I was able to get more.
Because
see,
the bonuses
I'd be slow
do go to,
and not accurate.
Oh, I think you'd be fine, Katie.
It was a little, like, it sounds a little conceptually difficult, but it really wasn't hard. The thing that I'll be most interested in is we played a very rough prototype.
Yeah,
like, black and white paper. I don't even know if there were components, like, cut out pieces of paper. Yeah.
They were cutting them out when we arrived.
So it'll be really cool to see what the actual artwork and what the final product looks like.
So how many players is it?
I think it was just four, but
yeah, it's 2 to 4 because of the timer aspect. Like you have to if it didn't have that timing aspect, because you're basically grabbing like second place, third place, fourth place to be able to accomplish those cards, because you're trying to get different icons on the cards. But
yeah, you grab these tokens which determine your place order, and that's initiative for when you fulfill things. If you don't fulfill in time, then some of the symbols you were going for disappear.
Right, but without that, it does feel like a what we call like a roll and write or like a reveal and write, almost like Welcome to or Ganchan Clever or things like that. It has that feeling to it, but you can't just have an infinite number of people because of that timed aspect.
Yeah. But it seems like it wouldn't be hard for them to add expansions, even potentially to
a
Kickstarter and make it a 6-player or something like that.
So that's coming July 9th. Will, what do you have?
So July 10th, a game we had the opportunity to play was called Corporate Times. It's being self-published by the guys that are working on that. The version of the game that we played with was okay. I'll admit that I felt like it could use some artwork. It was a little bland on the...
It was a diamond and it's still a little rough?
Yeah, exactly. Because the mechanics for it were really, really enjoyable, actually. It's an economic game where you are having to kind of like collect business resources. So it could be like healthcare or electronics or... you know, just banking or something like that. And then you're kind of working your way up this pyramid to be able to build and invest in larger and more powerful companies. And the mechanics for it were really smooth. There's some cards in there that kind of shift what you're kind of going for each round. And kind of, it's not legacy style, but impact the rest of the game depending on what cards you reveal. And I felt like the game has a lot of potential. Like it could really be a pretty hot game. but with its current skin, it's just a little bland. So we actually did talk with the designer. We're waiting for kind of his response, but hopefully he'll he'll be able to kind of polish it up a little bit, and I think this could be something that's really hot. Check that one out if it comes out July 10th, Corporate Times. Sarah, what are you looking at?
July 10th, also coming that day, is Jetpack Joyride from Lucky Duck Games.
Yeah.
This one is a very fun real-time tile placement game that is based on the app version of the game. So we've played this one a few times with our family and our kids, and our kids and the neighbor kids played it, and they actually recognized the game from the app, which is pretty cool.
Immediately. Can we play that?
Yeah. So basically you have four cards that represent your lab, and you're trying to make this path that you're...
Jetpacking through.
Yeah, you're jetpacking through as fast as you can.
You're
trying to escape the lab, but also picking up coins on the way and not hitting any of the lasers and missiles and zappers that are
so those in the way. Those tiles are like Tetris like.
They are, yes.
Like they look like Tetris.
Right, those shapes. They're like acrylic Tetris shapes, and you've got to kind of lay them out on your gridded laboratory as fast as you can because it is real time.
For our prototype, they looked really cool.
It was
like plasticky yellow. I mean, it looked.
It does. I don't know how final those are, but it seemed very polished. Yeah. Like it felt like the real deal.
That helps you play instead of us having a piece of cardboard or something.
Right. That would be really fun.
Yeah, I saw Valerie and Brian playing that. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really easy to set up, really easy to understand. It plays in probably, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. Four players?
Yep, 2 to 4 players. Actually, no, I think there might be a one-player variant. I don't remember.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, Kevin, what do you have?
So on July 9th, Black Forest Studio is bringing a game called The Villagers. It's a social deduction game, sort of like Mafia or Werewolf. There's two different teams. There's the Plague Doctor's team and the Villagers team. And you do need a moderator for the game. So it definitely is not like for solo gamers. This is for like party people who like party type games. And we played this at one of our game nights a few weeks ago. And we had like, I don't know, Melissa, do you think we had like 12 people around the table?
It was a lot. It was more than 10.
Yeah, so that's one of the beauties of this game. It can play with many different people around the table. And not everyone's just a simple plague doctor or a simple villager. There's different roles that you can take on. So I could be like a crow that's on the plague doctor's team. There's a huntress on the villager's team, and the huntress is trying to find the crow. So there's a lot of different like interspersed like interactions between the different players. Not just the plague doctor's trying to kill the villagers, and the villagers are trying to kill the plague doctors. So yeah. So check that out. The Villagers from Black Forest Studios coming to Kickstarter July 9th. Melissa.
On July 10th, Peacekeeper Games is bringing Rorik, Dawn of Kiev. It is a 2-to-4-player game that has some area control, some action programming, some resource management. There's some attacking other players. And it plays about 1 hour to 2 hours. Sure. They say about 30 minutes per player. Kevin and I got a chance to play this at Origins.
Yeah, we actually teased this a few episodes ago that we played this. Mm-hmm. So.
And then we got a prototype copy, and we have a video review that should be available for this for you to watch. But I personally don't like kind of war attacking area control games, but it's much more than that. And it all hinges on how you take your actions, how you program your actions. There's this board, and you have advisors with different powers, and they will activate from 1 to 5, but the higher power advisors will push down lower ones. So it's just really interesting how you have to think about placing your advisors so you actually get the actions that you want to take.
So many times that I was playing this where you're like, okay, I need to move first, or I need to muster my armies to get more armies first, and then I need to move my armies, then I need to do this. But if you don't place your higher numbers there, that your more powerful advisors, you might not get the good like actions.
You might only be able to move one.
So I'm gonna put my 5 there because I definitely need to do that. Definitely need to move this round. I was like, oh, but then if I put my 5 there, then I'm moving last. Mm. And I was like, so that little like mechanism of the auction program that Melissa's talking about is really like, to me, like the meat of the game, the star of
Rorik. And you can actually spend coins to make your advisors more powerful. Yeah. So you could spend a couple coins to make your 2
more powerful, so you can still take it as your second action, but it is higher up on the action board.
That strategy, they call it the strategy phase, is very strategic.
So. Yeah, and then you're, you know, fighting people and trying to take over territories and producing goods, all to get victory points.
Yeah.
It was very enjoyable. At first, I didn't know if it would be a game for me, but I did enjoy it a lot. And that is Rorik, Dawn of Kiev from Peacekeeper Games, coming July 10th. Katie, what do you have?
I'm looking at Cthulhu, Death May Die by Simon.
Gotta bring that one up.
Yeah. So, first of all, it's got awesome miniatures, as expected. Amazing art, which is really cool. So, moving on past the obvious. This is a game where you are playing people who are already insane, which I think is kind of interesting.
Good starting point.
And you are trying to, you realize that Cthulhu is coming. Like, there's no chance that you can stop the cultist.
He's gonna not come.
Yes, he is coming. And so there's like, apparently in this mythos, there's like a weak point when Cthulhu first shows up and you have this tiny little window of time that maybe you can defeat Cthulhu, you know, before he destroys the world. But the catch is you can't go completely insane before then. You can't be wounded, you know, severely before then. So this is a game where you are moving around on a board and discovering parts of the board that give you different things. There's different areas that you can go to. But you're also having to fight part of Cthulhu's, like, you're trying to fight some of the cultists and some of their like minions and things like that that you're struggling against there. And there's like what sounds like some really interesting things that you can do. So there's like movement on the board. This is cooperative. And there is variable player powers as well. So, it looks like it's got some interesting things going for it.
Cool.
And this is the one designed by Eric Lang and Rob Davio. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Their powers combined.
So some pretty big designer names there.
But it's not a legacy game. That's what they said.
It's not. It is not a legacy game, although it does say that there are scenarios that can be played. And they are you can play them in any order. There's standalone scenarios, and apparently there's different setups and different cards that come out depending on what scenario you're playing. Cool. And you can play those again and again. So I thought that was, it sounds like it's going to be really interesting. But anyway, so, July 10th.
There it is.
Yeah.
Big day. Big day.
I know. All right, Ryan, what do you have?
Also July 10th, coming from Colossal Games, is Eclipse Second Dawn. This is a revised and updated version of the Eclipse board game that is kind of a classic. It's got some new graphic design. There's new miniatures for some of the things that used to just be tokens, I believe. And they've done some fine-tuning for some of the rules. So it's the same great game, but just with some tweaks to make it even better. I think you should check it out. July 10th. Will.
All right, so I've got one more. It's called Player Plush.
No, it's not.
No. Uh-oh.
What?
Their pledge goal is $1,500,000.
Are you serious?
No, you're not talking about this one.
I'm not? Okay, I'll move on.
That's already live.
Oh, it's already live. I just wanted to watch the intro video one more time because it's 14 seconds of football spinning.
That's okay. So sad.
I'm focusing.
Worst Kickstarters ever segment.
It's painful. Don't waste too much time.
What are you really talking about?
Okay, yeah. I'm really talking about Incoming Transmission from designer Michael Lipton. It's being published by Magic Meeple Games. It's a It says it's a 2-to-5 player game. It's basically a 2-player game, and it's pretty cool because it has some of the.
Wait, it's basically a 2-player game, but it's 2-to-5.
Well, yeah, it's teams.
It's a little bit like Mastermind, where one person kind of knows the solution that you're going for, and then the other person is the cadet on the ship who's receiving your transmissions and has to uncode them and figure out the plan. But it says it can be played up to 5. I was thinking you could play it with like up to like 100 if you wanted to.
Is there like one? With 4?
Right,
something.
One guy leading however many other people want to play on that.
As long as they have the components, they can do it.
Right. Well, and it's not even, I mean, it's just, you're all working as a team on the other team.
It's set up similarly to Codenames. So you have one person who knows the answer, and then the rest, everybody else has to find the answer.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. It actually even looks a little bit like Codenames because you're laying out a bunch of square cards on the table, and they kind of make up your ship, and then the idea is that the transmitter, I don't know what his name is, he's giving clues to the other team, and he says, like, go south. You know, pick up a component, repair it, drop it off. And he has secret goal cards that he's trying to achieve to get you to put pieces next to each other and fix the right things. And then the other team has to figure out what order those cards are supposed to go in. And sometimes, depending on what the, like, transmission deck reveals, sometimes it's just, like, straight up, here's the 5 cards, good luck, figure out the order. Sometimes it's, like, you don't even get one of the cards, or they're in different order, and different things are going on. So it's a, you know, narrow it down, figure out what the other guy wants you to do type of thing. They are working, I don't remember what I said the Kickstarter date was. I didn't
actually
say it. July 12th.
I'm here for you.
And they are kind of finalizing and refining some of the components now. We had some feedback just that it's hard to kind of flip the tiles and... It's a teeny bit fiddly. It's not bad. I think once they have final components, it'll be a really sharp game. And the coolest thing is just the art. It's got this really cool NES, like, it very much looks like Return of Samus or something like that, the old Nintendo game. There's even, like, a power suit in there, which I got all excited when I saw. So, incoming transmission, check that one out. Coming to Kickstarter very soon. And then Kevin has one more.
Yeah, one more. We might as well end with a bang because it's our sponsor's game.
Yay!
Pumpkin Patch Bad Seeds is coming to Kickstarter July 11th from Brouhaha Games. So you can check that out. It is basically a communal garden of pumpkins, and people are basically playing a pumpkin. You have pumpkin cards in your hand, and you're playing those to the pumpkin patch. And the way you can play cards is in ascending order. So if there's a 1 down, you can place a 2 on top of it and a 3 on top of a 2 and so on. And you're going to be scoring points because on the pumpkin cards, it says, for instance, one of them will say score sequential pumpkins that are all orange. So if you can lay a certain color, your color pumpkin that's orange and, you know, and there's other surrounding pumpkins
that are orange.
There's white and orange.
Oh, okay.
And then there's ones that are like, if you can do 3-4, like if you can have a card that's 3 and there's a card that's next to it that's 4 and a card that's next to that is 5 and then 6 and you can get points that way. There's cards that are like straight up points. But as you're laying cards though, after you lay a card, there's crows in the game, and those crows, you get to move one of the crows on top of any stack of numbered cards, which basically blocks players from playing on that stack.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of strategy there. You can only place cards adjacent to each other, so if you want to start a new deck of like 1, 2, 3, the one has to be, you can't just be like, oh, I'm just going to place it over here. Like, you have to connect it to the other decks.
To the patch.
And the game continues with you playing the pumpkin cards, scoring points, and moving those crows around until someone plays the ultimate Cinderella pumpkin, it's an 8 card, but it's worth 5 points.
I was waiting for Charlie Brown to pop out, but Cinderella makes equal or better sense.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm it's for 2 to 3 players.
Mm-hmm, 2 or 3, yeah.
And, yeah, the crows are kind of interesting because you place it after your turn, so it blocks the other player, but it also blocks your next
unless you're playing 3
turn.
Players.
Yeah, with 3 players, it's a little different because there's 2 crows.
But, yeah, with 2 players, it's like, oh, I'm going to place it here, but it's going to take a while before that crow moves again. So, yeah, so it's pretty fun.
So keep sticking around. We'll tell you how to win that in a minute.
Okay.
But we do have one other announcement we need to get to.
Do we?
Yeah, I've been playing Card Thief phone.
No.
It is an amazing card game app. Seriously, you should check it out. Shout out to Colton Richardson for turning me on to it. Ryan, he's my brother-in-law.
Do you have? Oh, okay.
Wait, but we have actual news.
Oh, we have actual news. Let's get to that.
So, is that a board game? Before we move on,
no, it's just like a fun little card game thing on your phone.
It's an app,
and it doesn't need data, which is like a plus. So,
it's like a database.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, it's Wi-Fi.
Let's get. Okay.
And it's a free app. It's really cool. Check it out.
Ryan hijacks.
Right. He's trying to make it more like build that anticipation. What are we talking about? So we had some. What are we saying? Wagers. What is that? I don't know. We had votes.
We had 50-50 down the middle.
In the tantrum house.
Guys versus girls voting. Girls versus guys.
And this is the gender of the new
person. Gender reveal!
Yeah.
So, what was the... Did you guys get other votes from other people?
We did.
Was it slanted in one way or the other?
I think so.
Yeah. My family all said boy.
Okay.
And...
Facebook is mostly girl.
Facebook is mostly girl.
So
you guys went in, had the appointment, ultrasound, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And
it's a girl.
Yay! Hello, Kevin. Hello, you guys.
You guys got it right. Kevin, we're right.
Fantastic. That's very cool. Congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
Wow. Remind us of that due date so we can live broadcast it on the
We're not live broadcasting that at all.
Wait, aren't we? Don't we do content? Video content?
Do you mean live?
And our subscriber count goes down.
Just like crazy.
Look at the cute baby.
Cool. Little girl pills arriving in November.
Yep.
So, have you thought of names? You have to tell us the name. Have
We've
you thought
of names.
Okay, you thought of names.
We haven't come up with the final one.
The final name. But
yeah, we have some rules for how we want to name our children.
It has to be a certain number
and
of letters.
With the last name, like pills, there are certain rules. Like,
you can't name it after any of the seven dwarves.
Yes.
You can't name it like
pills. Can you really name any of your kids after pills?
Name it after like any medicines?
No, we're not going to do that either.
Oh, there we go.
Sleepy pills.
Gloomy pills. That was medicine.
Do you have like a pseudo name? Because I know some people are like, call the baby just a different name until they...
Baby pills is what we
call baby pills.
Did you have any boy names that you can now reveal?
We had tons of boy names that we liked. And we were so prepared for boys.
Tell us what your favorite boy name was.
Oh, well, we were going to go with Roy.
Roy Pills.
To name him kind of after Ryan, who was named sort of after his dad, Randy, who was sort of named after his dad, Richard. So
it's
just an R. Just an R name, really.
Can't wait till the girl grows up and be like, you were going to be Roy.
Yeah.
It happens every
But we also liked Ian and Adam Isaac. Anyway, there were a lot of boy names that we had picked out. And now we're like, girl? Well, we're going to start from scratch here, I guess. I don't know.
You should have trusted Will, Ryan, or Will and Kevin.
Yeah. We tried to tell you guys. Get that heads up.
It's the girl.
So, we do have a name we both like, but it like breaks some of our rules that we have in place.
Kids break rules.
Like happy pills?
No.
That's a no-name difference. Now Kevin and I will vote on what your name will be.
Uh-oh.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, you guys. While we're talking birthdays, we should talk about ours a little bit. We've got our 1 year anniversary of Tantrum House Podcast.
Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast.
Coming up soon.
Wow, a whole year.
Than we think. I know.
Can you believe we've done a weekly podcast for a whole year?
I really
it
didn't
feels
think it was
like
possible.
It. God, I'm just kidding. And we're all still friends.
Yay! I didn't even know. Like, when we started this, it was on a whim, to be honest.
I know.
We had talked about it a couple times. And then
it was like the next week.
What are we doing?
And
I was really pushing for it because I knew this would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And the first time we did it, I was like, that was my favorite thing we've done for Tantrum House.
Let's make it regular.
To me, it's so much fun because we just get to talk. And we never get to do that because we're always doing content or we're just playing games or it's always business. Whereas this is semi-business, but semi-talking.
Right. Yeah. And the talking... Like when we do the video reviews, it's just here's the straightforward info.
Yeah,
we don't get to do any of the like I won. So we need to figure out though what we're gonna do. This is episode 47.
Yeah, it's in the late, the upper 40s.
So 52 is coming just around the corner. We've had some ideas because we want to have some fun.
Yeah.
So one of the ideas that we're tossing around right now, in partnership with our sponsors for tonight, is we want to put together some contest stuff. Let you guys do some submitting, and then we'll either give away one or two prizes, or a bunch of prizes, or a huge prize.
We're definitely going to give. He's giving away. Travis from Brouhaha is giving away two copies of Pumpkin Patch. So this is definitely part of the giveaway. So
and Did we want to say that's if they fund?
Yeah, as long as they fund.
Just in case.
Yes. I'm sure that they will fund.
Okay.
Feeling good, feeling confident. So let's do this. Let's have you fan listeners who are interested in A, winning a cool prize.
Yep.
And B, wishing us a happy birthday. Happy birthday, anniversary. What
they
do
can,
you call that?
They can give a 30-second, like,
it's a birthday.
Whatever you want to say.
15 second.
Record yourself on your phone saying something fun or funny
to about Tantrum House.
Yeah. Send it to us at hello@tantrumhouse.com.
Hello@tantrumhouse.com.
We'll get it. We'll add you to our competition list.
Yeah.
And then we will on... Soon, we're doing it on the 52 episode.
Yeah, on the 52 episode.
We'll announce some winners, and we may have a larger package of games by then. We'll see. You'll win at least something. One person, two people.
Yeah, we're going to have more than that. But
we'll win something. And go ahead and start submitting those now. We'll start collecting them, and then that way when we do our 52 episode, we can include some of those shout-outs from you guys, our listeners.
Because you want to hear you listening to you.
And we want to hear you listening to you.
Can so many guests on the podcast.
Yeah, we have lots of guests.
We're going to do a different house guest intro welcome for every person.
No, we'll just probably like space them out throughout the episode.
So, Will, are you actually bribing our listeners to say nice things
like
about us?
That's okay.
You can say you hate us. Just submit it and you'll be in the competition. we'll like it more if you don't say you hate us, though.
Yeah. Have a greater chance of making it
so,
on the
one more time, we're giving away games. To enter, all they need to do is record a 15 to 20 second voice recording and send it to hello@tantrumhouse.com.
Yep, we'll put it together. Hopefully it'll get into the show and we'll draw some winners and we'll all be happy that we made it again.
That'd be cool. So we'll do that over the next few episodes and we'll talk about that. So
we'll give you more details on that soon. We got one more announcement that I almost forgot about.
We do?
Yeah, we do. Yes. Because next Friday, this Friday, the 13th, when you listen to this, we are going to be working with a couple different people. The Ronald McDonald House of the Carolinas, which we've done some work with for them in the past.
Charity work before? Mm-hmm.
They have asked us, the fundraising that we did as part of the Stonemaier charity auction thing earlier in the year.
Last year.
That was part of a bigger thing that the Ronald McDonald House was doing. They successfully reached their goal. They've built on a whole second wing and expanded their services. And they are doing their like kind of soft launch welcome open house this coming Friday.
Wow.
And they have invited us and a couple of other groups. Jay Dew is a local MC here, as well as I think the mayor and some other cool people are going to be there.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So they want us to come out and hang out and bring some games and play with people. We'd love to have you guys join us. So if you're listening to this and you're at all reasonably local, we'd love to have you come hang out 6:30 Friday the 13th. Sounds like a lucky day to me.
Yeah.
At the Ronald McDonald House, of Greenville. So come join us. We'll play some games. There is going to be, they're asking for like a $5 donation at the door because they're kind of just, you know, wrapping up all their fundraising stuff. But that'll obviously go to a great cause. And we'll have some games there, probably some prizes. Yep. We've been talking about like a little new show segment.
Oh, a new segment show?
Yeah, so come check that out. You might be in a video.
Cool.
I think that's the details. Check our website for more information, or Facebook probably will have the most info.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get out some more emails and Facebook stuff, but we'd love to have you guys join us. I think it'll be super fun, and it's for a super, super great cause. So I think that does it for the episode. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We always have fun and hope you do as well. See you next time.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!